Well, you can open your Bibles this morning to Daniel. 2 weeks in a row in the Old Testament. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. The book of Daniel, chapter 3. And we're just going to kind of jump into the middle of this chapter as far as what we're going to read to start with, but pretty much going to cover the whole chapter. I'll just discuss the setting after we have read some particular verses. And if you'd like to follow along, we're going to read beginning in verse 16 of Daniel 3 through verse 23. Shadrach, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. The expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. We know that's grace. Oh, Lord, that you do for us. Your love toward us is grace. And by your grace, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lift up Jesus among us here today and draw all of us together to him so that we're not only closer to you, Lord, but to one another. As you build your kingdom and your church against which the very gates of hell cannot stand. Thank you for this passage of scripture that you inspired Daniel to write down. You have preserved and brought to us for our encouragement. Thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. My title this morning actually comes from verse 15, where Nebuchadnezzar has called in these three men and is wanting to know why they're not doing what he commanded in worshiping the idol and in worshiping his gods. And as he challenges them, the last sentence in verse 15 says, And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? My title this morning is, Who is that God? Now in this setting, you know that this is in Babylon. The children of Israel have been taken captive. Jerusalem's been destroyed. And many of them have been carried off captive to Babylon, to this great kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar rules over. This man and his army, his kingdom, has conquered most of the then known world, at least as far as they knew. And he had not been defeated and not failed and controlled as far as he knew of, as far as they had reached. God is involved. God is not gone just because Israel's gone into captivity, just because Jerusalem was destroyed. God hasn't disappeared. He's on the scene. And you recall the story before this. He has a dream. Nebuchadnezzar does. All of his smart guys in the kingdom can't figure it out. Can't tell him about it. Someone tells him about Daniel. Daniel comes in, and by the Holy Spirit, Daniel not only tells him his dream, but interprets it accurately. And he knows it. And so he takes Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and he promotes them to governing positions in his kingdom, which of course always draws some jealousy and envy from the locals, you might say, which was going on. But this man Nebuchadnezzar had had such success in the extension of his kingdom that he got this idea to build a statue, a golden image, an idol, more than likely of himself, and it was solid gold. And that idol was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He chose a particular plain, a big open area where plenty of people could gather, and that's where he erected it. And then he commanded that the musicians would come. He called all of his governing officials together, and he commanded them that whenever the music played, that everyone would fall down before this idol and worship this golden statue. And that's what they did. They gathered together, all of his leaders and all the people, all the nations, it says, and languages around them that they had conquered, and were gathered there, and they fell down and worshiped. Or at least most of them did. And then some jealous fellows, some Chaldeans, it says in verse 8, came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "You commanded that everyone fall down when the music plays and worship this idol. But there are certain Jews whom you promoted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, king, have not paid due regard to you." Playing on his ego. "They don't serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Well, Nebuchadnezzar got angry. It says, in a rage and fury, he gave commandment to bring these men before him. Then he challenged them. He questioned them. He said, "I've been told that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold image." Then he gives them another chance. "Now, if you're ready, when the music plays, if you bow, good. Everything will be fine. But if you don't, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Then he says that question, "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand?" Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we read, they didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to be careful about their answer. The New King James says, "We have no need to answer you." In other words, we don't have no concern. We don't have any problem answering you in this question. If that's the case, if you're going to throw us in the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand. You see their faith, their confidence that God is able to deliver them from the furnace, from the suffering. But whether he does that or not, they are absolutely certain he will deliver them from Nebuchadnezzar, from Babylon, from sin and hell and darkness and death. They said, but if not, if he doesn't deliver us from the furnace, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set up. It was already settled. And it needs to be settled in our hearts. No matter what takes place in our world, no matter what's going on, no matter what we face personally, no matter what we face in our community or in our church or in our state or in our nation or in the world, that it be settled. Our faith is our foundation. Our God is our deliverer. His faithfulness is our security. He is the one that we trust in. Not in gold, not in Babylon, and that's what Babylon is the picture of, and Babylon is used even as an allegory for the world and the world system, Satan's kingdom, throughout and often places in the New Testament. That's its... That's what you bow to in that kingdom is gold, is personal, selfish, self-centered ego, as Nebuchadnezzar did. But that wasn't these three Hebrew children, as they say. They weren't children, they were young men. They were settled in their faith. They were secure in their relationship with God. And the furnace, and the conflict, suffering, and even death did not deter them from their devotion to their God, to their Redeemer. So Nebuchadnezzar goes in a rage, and he commands that the furnace, now this is not, you know, a little furnace, obviously this is a something large, that three people could be thrown into. And he has it heated seven times hotter. Has it heated much more than usual. Now, if you want to know a real good way to get rid of your best soldiers, choose them to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. And that's what he does. He picks three of his great men of valor to bind, to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and take them over there and get close enough to throw them into the furnace. And that's the end of his three generals or whatever they were, men of valor. And they throw them in and they tumble down because they're bound, their hands and their feet. They tumble into that furnace. And those soldiers died. Nebuchadnezzar, I'll call him Neb, how about that? Neb's in a rage. Now he's satisfied for they've been thrown in, but he's a little shook up because he's just lost three of his great men of valor, his generals. Then he looks into the furnace. Verse 24 says, then King Neb was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. It's not hot up here, but I got to have some water. True, O king, they answered. Neb says, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the fourth is like the Son of God. God honored their faith. God shook this king's world who thought he owned the world. Christ showed up. Jesus, I believe a pre-incarnate revelation of Christ, showed up in the midst of the fire and walked about. Nebuchadnezzar looks into this furnace that was so hot it killed his soldiers who threw the men in there, and he sees four men having a stroll around inside the fire. He's getting his answer. Who is that God? Who is that God? That God is the Creator who spoke to nothing and light appeared. 5 days more, He made everything else that is. Who is that God? He's the God of covenant who chose a man named Abram, whose wife Sarai was barren, and promised to bless them and make them a blessing to the whole world and give them children who would become a nation so numerous they could be equated with the stars in the sky. Who is that God? One who chose a man who had been a murderer and exiled to the backside of the wilderness to shepherd someone else's sheep. He called that man through a burning bush and sent him to take on all of the so-called gods of Egypt and Pharaoh and his army and set God's people free from slavery. And he led some 3 million Jews across the Red Sea on dry land. Humorously, some commentators say it's the Reed Sea and it was only 6 inches deep. Well, that makes it no less miracle to me, since he drowned the whole Egyptian army in a 6-foot sea. Though I don't think it was that, but humorous anyway. Who is that God? He's the one Isaiah saw sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, whose glory, his train filled the temple, and his voice when he spoke shook the very foundations. For love of the world, who is that God? He's the one who, for love of the world, became a human being, a baby born of a virgin, laid in a manger, and who grew up in a small town in Israel and raised by his supposed carpenter father, who at age 30 declared that he is the Son of God. Who is that God? It is Jesus Christ. He went about doing good, Acts tells us, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Who is that God? He's the one who prayed so deeply for us and our salvation in the garden that his sweat became great drops of blood. Who is that God? He's the one who gave himself to be betrayed, tried, falsely accused, and condemned to die. Who is that God? He's the one who allowed himself to be crucified, nailed to a tree, and to become sin, the sin of all the world, and to bear it away for all of us. Who is that God? He's the one who was buried in a borrowed tomb. He wasn't going to need it long. Who is that God? He is the one who died and was buried, and on the third day, of his own accord and power, walked out of that grave, never to die again, victorious with the keys of death and hell on his belt. He is the one who saves all who believe in him and call upon his name. Who is that God? He is the one who is not burned by the fire, nor are his children. King Neb saw 4 men walking about, though he had only thrown 3 in. The 4th was indeed the Son of God. We pick up in verse 26 of Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He answered his own question. Who is that God? He got his answer after he saw him in the fire. Servants of the Most High God. That's your answer. That's my answer. That's who we serve. That's who's for us. That's to whom we belong. Servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of fire, or the smell of smoke, was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God, the Most High God. Therefore I make a decree, Neb says, that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything amiss against the Son of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire had no power upon them. But remember, they had already settled it and said so. That whether it did or not, they were going to be faithful to their God. They were, and he was. And he is to you and to me. In the midst of this world and in the midst of this time, and while all of this stuff is going on in our own nation, in the capital of our nation, and in the world, and in the Middle East, all of which has been spoken so much about in the scriptures, and we see all of these things happening and all of these things being said, know that we can stand in our faith assured that our God is the Most High God. He's not got a problem. He's not wringing his hands. He's not worried. He's watching, and it's all on time, and he's in control. And if you and I belong to him, the fire will have no power upon us. Now, we might suffer, we might even die, but we will still be delivered, and the fires of hell will have no power upon us who belong to Jesus, and our sins have been washed away. We are secure. Who is that God? It is Jesus Christ, whose name, as Philippians tells us, is above every other name, who sits at the right hand of the Father, and before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is that God? He's the one who saves all who call upon him and delivers them from the burning furnace of hell. And Nebuchadnezzar's furnace would have been a walk in the park compared to that. He is the one who promised you and I, who belong to him, in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Every person that's in Christ, every person who's ever said yes to Jesus and belongs to him, has that promise. And no matter where you and I walk, whatever we may face, we as Christians, as children of God, will never walk alone. no matter how hot it gets. The fourth man, the Son of Man, the Most High God, will walk with us. Now, if you don't know Him, if you haven't said yes to Jesus, if you've not been born again, you can have that promise, and it can be yours if you will come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for such wonderful promises in Your Word. Thank You for this wonderful testimony that You had Daniel to pin down so that we could be encouraged by it. Lord, even as it seems that the heat is rising across the earth in conflict and confusion and evil and darkness and chaos, God, You reign. And all who belong to You never walk alone. And we have assurance that the Most High God, our God, is with us. And we shall be delivered from their hand. Praise You, Father, in Jesus' name.